Amen. 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 You guys can have your seats. Are you guys glad to be in the house of God? Just say, I am anointed to subdue. Say it again. Say, I am anointed to take over, to have dominion. It's unquestionable dominion. It is a dominion and a rule that cannot be questioned. It is an anointing that is cannot be questioned. That when you walk into your workplace, you subdue. When the enemy comes against you, you have the ability to subdue. You have the ability to overtake. You have the ability to have dominion. It's unquestionable dominion. Roskaten, listen. Listen. Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 28. The Bible says, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Before I get into the verses of subdue, are you guys with me? And I'm going to pray for that anointing. Listen here. The anointing is tangible and it is real. It is just people. And I know it's a bit hot and we got all the air cons on. So we got six on. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We have 6 air cons on. That's the best we can do in this place. But we got better ones in the next place. Hopefully, I believe. I think so. So just stay with it. It's not that bad. And subdue. The word subdue. Listen, say these words with me. Say the anointing is tangible. It's transferable. I want you to receive this. Say it's transferable. Which means that it can be transferred from me to you. It can be transferred from the atmosphere to you. It can be transferred from the encounter you have with God to you. It can be transferred. If a cloth, this handkerchief, can carry the anointing, that we can have the ability to put this cloth onto a body of a sick. And the apostle, the Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter number 19, that demons would scream out when they put a cloth from Paul's body onto the sick or onto the demon possessed or onto those who needed it. If a handkerchief can carry the anointing, how much more those of us who are the DNA, the technology, the technon of God. I share this morning, the Bible says that we are His workmanship. We are His technon in the Greek, technology, which means that God has specifically manufactured, created you for a certain purpose, a task, and a mission, and a destiny on this earth. God specifically designed you uniquely. There's not one person on the face of this planet that is the same as you. When it comes to your eye color, when it comes to your fingerprints, when it comes, come on, are you guys with me? When it comes to your DNA, it is unique, completely unique. And the word technology is what is used in the Greek there, technon, technology. That's where technology derives from, which means that we are God's technology. Are you guys with me? I don't know if you believe that. You know, when you understand that, listen, I am God's workmanship. He created me. He designed every facet about me. I remember I was driving this BMW in Durban. It was like the 7 Series, brand new BMW. But the thing had a lot of technology in. So if you drive the car, you drive on the highway, and I would want to overtake a car, and I'm too close to something, it would rip the car back into the lane, and it would rip the steering wheel out of me and pull the car back completely. Or I would want to, let's say I'm driving on the highway, and I would just veer into a white line, a straight white line, or a yellow line, and it's like, and the car just senses that it pulls you back. Or if it looks at you, that if your eyes just look tired, it begins to slow down, or it, and it puts on warning lights and stuff like that. But in the beginning, you think that something is wrong because you're driving this car and this thing pulls you back, and you feel like you don't have control. I mean, it literally feels like a robot driving the car. And I thought that something was wrong with the car, but little did I know that it was advanced technology. Are you guys with me? And so, then I said to the, I spoke a lot to the new members. I explained to them about, you know, how our synesis can change, the way we think, and how I wanted to buy a certain car. But I just felt that my time was passed for that small type of car. What I mean by that is that I know what people say. Listen, just get over the poverty mindset. I'm not saying all of us must drive rich cars, but at least all of us can drive a decent, safe car. And And I was just like, no, I wanted a nice car. I sold a brand new car a year ago. I wanted to get a nicer car. So I got a better one that I used to. And even this one that I'm driving, it's like if I drive fast up to a car, it slams on the brakes, it pulls in the seat belt, and sirens go off. But you would, when it happens, it feels like something is wrong with you, or it feels like there's a mistake because you're not in control anymore and you're not used to that type of driving. So then I was thinking about ministries and churches. Some people might come into this church and they might think, but wait, something is wrong. But what they don't understand is that it is only a advanced technology, but they think that something is wrong. We are prone to judge and criticize it. It's in our nature. We are prone to judge and criticize. That's why we must die to that nature. Are you guys with me? Okay, say with me, subdue. It says, replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion. Say dominion. Subdue. The word subdue in the Greek, if I can take synonyms of this word, they are tremendously. It means to obliterate. It means to destroy. It means to crush. It means to break down. But if you study it in the dictionary, the English dictionary, it literally means to humiliate, to bring down by force, to kneel down, to make a person kneel down. It means to trample upon something. It means to humiliate and embarrass something. It means to put something into bondage and make it your slave. That's what the word subdue is. And it even goes so deep in the Oxford English Dictionary that it'll say it means to rape. I don't know if the people are here. I don't know if you have a lot of visitors, new people or not, but are you guys with me? We're going to pray and we'll flow the anointing just now, but I need to get this word through to you so that you can understand the anointing to subdue. Say with me, subdue. Okay. I just want to see where to go next. So the dictionary says, listen, to bring into bondage, to trample upon, to bring into subjection. And as I said, it goes as far to say to rape. It's just to bring an image through to you of what subdue means. Because some of you have experienced that as rape, that. And you have experienced that. So if I say the image, you can kind of like understand how vulgar this word is, to subdue. And the Bible is clear. There are how many verses where it uses this word to say that God will subdue the enemy. God will obliterate the enemy. God will destroy the enemy. But now he goes even a little bit further and he's saying, listen here, I have given you an anointing and an authority for you to do it. Which means that when he sends us into a region, when he sends us into a city, when he sends us into a certain area, we have been given the anointing to subdue, to have dominion, unquestionable dominion. Subjugation, that's basically what it means. The anointing to subjugate, the power to subjugate. That when you walk into your workplace, you know you will get that job or that promotion. But it is an anointing that is tangible. This is not entertainment or hyper preaching. This is real. This is a thing that you can catch and it can be real. Are you guys with me? So God gave us the original command is to say, listen here, subdue the earth. Bring the earth into bondage under you and begin to rule and have dominion over the earth. Wherever your foot shall tread, I have given that unto you. Wherever you go, I have given it unto you. I know that I preach regarding identity in this church so that we can understand who we are and who God has created us to be. We are not created to struggle. We are not created to suffer or struggle in poverty and battle with this and battle with that. He says, listen, I've called you to subdue the earth. Bring it into your subjection. Everything. Now, listen. I think it is Luke chapter number 10. Let me just check where. Luke chapter number 10, verse number 17. It says, and the 70 returned again unto him, to Jesus. They returned with joy. Say with me, joy. If you want to have joy, when the anointing of subjugation, subdued, the anointing to subdue comes on you, you will have joy. Because you will know that nothing can touch you. You'll know nothing can come near you. I don't care if it is a bullet. I don't care if it is a knife. Listen, if you have the anointing to have dominion, dominion is one of the highest forms of the power of God. I touched on five dimensions, but the sixth dimension actually speaks of the power of dominion. That is when you begin to rule and to reign. It's the power to destroy bullets. It's the power of invincible. Nothing can touch you. Are you guys with me? But it is an anointing that comes down, that when it comes on you. You know, I was sitting in this week and something happened to me about 2 days ago. I was praying. Friday night or Saturday, somewhere, I think it was Saturday, I was praying. And all of a sudden, when I said we had an assassination attempt and we had attacks and I have threats coming to me personally. And then while I was praying, I felt, and I always say we must feel the presence of angels, but I felt the presence of demons. But I also felt the presence of angels. And I just kept on praying, and I just kept on praying, spending time in the presence of God. And I began to realize, and I felt this anointing and this grace, that it's just like nothing can touch you. It doesn't matter. It cannot come from the outer world. It has to be in here. It has to be, you have to be so firm in your spirit that you understand via the word that, listen, nothing can touch me when this anointing is upon me. The anointing, like I said, is the pieces of God that comes on you. Are you guys with me? When the anointing is on you, it is as if God is on you. When they spoke against Peter, Ananias and Sapphira, when they lied to Peter, Peter said to him, because you have lied to the Holy Ghost. But wait, they lied to Peter. But Peter said, because you have lied to the Holy Spirit, you will now fall down dead and da 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 da. But they lied to Peter because Peter carried the anointing. He was so full of God that when they lied to Peter, they lied to God. That it be like this, that when your boss comes against you, when the enemy or anybody, family or friends or anybody that's doing you in wrong is coming against you, that they be coming against God. And when you have that mindset, that as He is, so are we in this world. As He is what? As He is right now, ruling the nations, fire out of His eyes, a sword out of His mouth, sitting at the right hand of His Father, Jesus Christ. As He is, so are we in this world, with that identity, with that power. But we have to convince our flesh of this reality. Are you guys with me? Our flesh and our mind kicks against it. We have to remind ourselves, listen here, this is who I am. And then you'll see, often if you do it, it's like it takes a few months or something. But then it's like your body and your mind and everything begins to catch up with your spirit. And it begins to catch up with as you know, we have this word synesis, where the Bible says that the way you think, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It's the way I think I am. And when you begin to get that right, things begins to change and your flesh and your body begins to catch up. Are you guys with me? And the 70 returned again with joy. Say joy. Saying, Lord, even the devils, even the demons are subject, say subject, to us in your name. Lord, we went out there and we realized that we could subdue the demons in your name. We went out there and we realized that we can bring that into bondage, which brought us into bondage. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. And please just ignore the, we put just on Facebook and Periscope just tonight only. I just felt led to do it tonight. And usually when I do it and then we get emails and this and that, and I thought, okay, let's do it. You know, and if I say something wrong on this, then there's something wrong. I don't care. You know, I just don't care. So, but listen. I don't think you understand. Every devil, everything that has put you into bondage, that has put you into bondage of smoking, of drinking, being abused, putting you in chains, putting something making you depressed, making you suicidal, making you feel rejected. Those things that is causing that, the disciples came back and they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name, which means that we found out that those who put us in bondage, we can now go and put them into bondage, bring them under our feet, make a slave of them to us and become their master. Are you guys with me? We can go out and obliterate, crush down, break, destroy. That even the demons are subject to us. Say subject. Say the devil is subject to me. Say it again. Say the devil is subject to me. Nothing can happen to you. Listen to me. When you understand this anointing, the devil is in trouble. When you understand this anointing, the devil doesn't want you to understand this truth. He does not want you to understand this truth. So they were speaking about these heroes of faith. By faith, this one, this. By faith, Abram, this. By faith, Moses. By faith, Isaac. And they come to verse 11:3 and they said, these men who through faith subdued, say with me, subdued. Say kingdoms. By their faith, these men subdued kingdoms. They worked righteousness. They obtained promises and they stopped the mouths of lions. Go for the next verse. They quenched the violence of fire. They listen, and you think you're going through hell. Just listen to this. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, they were made strong. They became valiant in battle. Say with me, valiant in battle. They turned to flight the armies of the aliens, the armies of the enemies. They turned to flight. That word flight means fright or flight. I explained to the New Covenant part this evening that when the Bible says that God will put your enemy to flight, it's like the phrase fright or flight, which is a medical phrase, or flight or fright. I don't know exactly so which order it is around, but it speaks of a panic attack, which means that God will through you give your enemy a panic anxiety attack. That when you wake up in the morning, or when you go into an area, when you plan a home cell group in a region, that the enemy will have a panic attack. Because listen, it is not how much I know this Bible that is dangerous. It is not how much I know or how to pray that is dangerous. It is a believer that carries the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon their lives. That is a threat to the enemy that goes into their schools or their workplace or their universities. That becomes a threat to the enemy because they are subduing kingdoms. Now, I don't know if you understand subduing kingdoms. It means that you will have the anointing to humiliate kingdoms. You will have the anointing to embarrass, break down, obliterate, overthrow kingdoms of this world. These men, by their faith, they subdued kingdoms. They stopped the mouths of their of lions. Say, by their faith. It doesn't say by God. Are you guys with me? It's by who through faith they stop the mouths of lions. Listen, go for the next verse. Women received their dead raised to life again. When you receive the anointing to subdue, there'll be resurrection power. Others were tortured. Listen to this. Not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. Ay, ay, ay. We take offense because, you know, Leon, I don't know, did something like a year ago. Can't really remember what it is, but I'm just offended. Here, others were tortured to death, not accepting, giving the way out for deliverance to come out of the torture. And they say, no, I will rather die because there's a resurrection that will come to me that is a better resurrection. And we are sissified Christians. We just don't want to come to church because, you know, here pastor door and that pastor there, this one hurt me, and, you know, ach, this one did this and this one did that, and, you know, Leon wasn't at the school of discipleship and Martin had to take it, and, ach, you know, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Next verse. Still others had trials of mockings and scornings, yes, and chains of imprisonments. Next verse. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. Imagine being sawn in half. Listen. They were sawn in half. They were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Next verse. Of whom the world was not worthy. The world was not worthy of these ones. May it be said of us that the world is not worthy of us. I'm just preaching prophetically that the world is not good enough for you. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. Next verse. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, they did not, say with me, did not receive the promise. They went through all these things and they did not receive the promise. Come on, are you guys with me? Next verse. God, read this with me. Say, God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Listen here. What he's saying, he says, everything these guys have gone through, every promise they have obtained, where they've called down fire from heaven, where they talked to God face to face, where David was so rich that ships would come in with gold and silver to him. Solomon was so rich that the queen of Sheba would pay $4 billion to have a few minutes of time of its counsel. These people that have obtained these things, they have not yet even obtained a promise, but we have been given a better promise. We have been provided a better of promise. And they went through all those things just so that we could receive the promise. Are you guys with me? Say with me, it's time to subdue. Say it again. Say, it's time to subdue. Listen. Put on for me on the screen, Daniel chapter number 11, verse number 32. Daniel 11, verse number 32. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. I can preach on that a whole night. People who are flatterers, I spoke to the New Covenant, people, or to the School of Discipleship or New Covenant, people who flatter you, they have been corrupted by God to flatter, to bring them into destruction. Okay? Okay. But the people, say but, the people who know their God, this is not a knowing about or a knowing of, it's an intimate knowing. It's like you and God, you can go to your house and you can raise your hands and the presence will just fill your room and will fill your heart. And you know God. Somebody once said to me, okay, so you think you are called? I said, no, I know I'm called. Don't come and embarrass me like this, saying I think I'm called. I know I am called. Are you guys with me? But the people who know their God, so if they know their God, shall be strong and carry out great exploits. But in the Hebrew, that great exploits is not there. It actually, the sentence stops in halfway, which says the people who know their God, who has an intimate knowing relationship with their God, shall be strong and do. And it says full stop there, right there. But it's almost like there's not a full stop in the Hebrew, which means that it is supposed to be carrying on, which means that they shall be strong and do anything they want, that nothing will be possible for them. It's like given a blank check for you to be written, and you can decide the amount to write on there. If we understand that we are the DNA of heaven, that we have God, we are God's technology on the inside of us, that we have been built and manufactured to rule and to reign and to have dominion and to subdue this earth. If we understand that, listen, what is impossible on this earth for us to do? Why is it impossible to get a job? Why is it impossible to start a business? Nothing is impossible. You know, here's some statistics of pastors and of church, and this is actual statistics done by George Barna, who does statistics of all the churches. 97% of pastors have been betrayed, falsely accused, or hurt by their trusted friends. 97%. Okay, I'm not the 3% of the exception. Okay, 70%. Of pastors battle depression. 70. So if we put 10 pastors here, 7 out of those 10 will battle with depression. Okay, let me give you another shocking statistic. 75% of them will battle with pornography as pastors. Um, 7,000 churches close each year. Are you guys with me? This is in the United States now. So it's not even global. 7,000 churches close each year. I think in the UK, it's like, let's say 3,000 churches close and only 1,000 open a month. 3,000 close a month. So 1,500 pastors quit each month. 1,500. This is in the United States. Okay. So have grace on me, dear Lord Jesus. 10%, 1 out of 10 will retire a pastor, which means that they will make it. 1 out of 10 will make it. 1 out of 10 makes it past the age of 60. That's the statistic. Others die or they quit. Okay. 80% of pastors feel discouraged. Again, if you put 10 here, 8 out of that 10 will feel discouraged. 94% of pastors' families feels the pressure of ministry and wants to quit. 94%. 78% of pastors have no close friends. 90% of pastors report working 55 to 75 hours a week. This is little. They don't know work. Okay. I work 100 and something hours a week. I don't know. These guys don't understand work. Okay. Okay. So anyway, for them it's a lot. But I know the normal person work 8 to 5, 45 hours a week. A normal pastor do 55 to 75. I do 120 or something like that. So, say, but God. You know, I only go on what God is saying. I only go on what God is doing and moving. And when we make a move to our next building, however it's going to take place, and I was prophesying about a few weeks ago, and I said, this year we'll move into a new building. Yeah, from the pulpit, I said that. And that the shift that we take to such a large vicinity, most churches don't survive that. Okay? And you have been graced to be part of what God is doing, and including myself, where we are most probably going to see it within a few months of starting this church. And when we do, it's going to be a great launch. It's going to be a big launch. But there are, you know, and because of that, the enemy is raging, and I see him taking people out around me, left and right and center. Even this church, people that we love, when was it? I think about 3 weeks ago or so. I obviously won't say who it is or so, but I just see person gone, you know, and or they would begin to talk against us and this and that. People that were close to me, I found out about a month ago, just begin to speak against us, just begin to gossip, just begin to talk nonsense about a month ago. People don't understand, it's the enemy that's coming in. When a relationship is cut, power is destroyed, because power is generated with relationships. I'm going to say it again. My relationship with Pastor Mark as my spiritual father, my relationship with Prophet Angel as my mentor, those relationships, those two relationships that are over me, they generate power. I promise you, they generate power. Even in this place, I tap into the anointing of those that are over me sometimes when my anointing doesn't work. But the enemy will do anything for that relationship to be cut off, for that relationship to be destroyed. As long as he doesn't have to take me out, he doesn't have to take the ones over me out, all he has to do is bring an offense, cluck, and it's gone, and power is destroyed, and the church will go nowhere. If I break those relationships in an unlawful manner, if I'm in rebellion and I break it, this church will sink. I don't know if you guys understand that. That's called grace. So the enemy comes against the same with people in the church. So, you know, it's like if their relationship with me gets defiled, that's what the enemy wants, because then he cuts them off. And power is no longer generated. Power is destroyed because the relationship has been cut. The enemy is after relationships. Relationships generate power. It is not my prayer or my fasting. It is my relationship with God that generates power. If my prayer is not in a place of relationship, there will come no power out of my prayer. Prayer is a place. It's a place of relationship and intimacy. I used to preach a message where I said prayer is a place. God said to Elijah, go to a place, come to this place, go there to this place, and it's a place where God has for us. Prayer is a place. Are you guys with me? Nothing was going to stop the anointing that God is going to do and is going to put upon you. I'm already seeing the cloud of glory a little bit in this place. Listen, nothing is going to stop what God is going to do in your life. Mm-hmm. listen, you are my battle axe. Say with me, battle axe. Say these words. Say, I am God's battle axe. I am his weapons of war. And he says, and with you, I will break the nation in pieces. With you, I will destroy kingdoms. Did he say with my Holy Spirit? Did he say with my angels, me and my angels? Did he say, I will do it? He said, with you. Are you guys with me? With you, I will destroy kingdoms. Next verse. With you, I will break in pieces the horse and its rider. With you, I will break in pieces the chariot and its rider. Next verse. With you, I will also break in pieces man and woman. With you, I will break in pieces the old and the young. With you, I will break in pieces the young man and the maiden. You can stop there. But he goes on and he is explaining. He says, go for me back to verse 20. Read this with me. Say, you are. In fact, say, I am. Say those words just from your heart, from your spirit. Say, I am God's battle axe. I am his weapons of war. God is going to do it with you and through you. God is not going to bring a move to this nation or even Centurion without you. Are you guys with me? If we fail, he's going to wait for somebody else to be raised up. That is how God works. God never leaves a city. He leaves a man. I'm going to say it again. God never leaves a city or a nation. He leaves a person or a people. May the anointing come upon you. I said to you, where is the exact location of the anointing? It is located with the anointed. When I find somebody that is anointed, I spend all my time that I can with them. I sow financially into their lives because I know the anointing is located by the anointed. It is the exact location of the anointing. I heard this from the Lord saying to me when I was praying that this will be like, this church will be like an olive tree, a producer of the anointing. An olive tree is something that produces olives. It produces the anointing. That you will find that the anointing will be produced in this place. Whether you're anointed as an evangelist, a preacher, a pastor, a teacher, an apostle, or a prophet, but that you will be anointed in this place. Say with me, I receive the anointing to subjugate in Jesus' name. Stand to your feet, everybody in this place, just raise your hands.